This is Electric Sisterhood Podcast, episode number 238. PAX East 2011. The good, the bad, and the smelly. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we have a great show for you this week. We are actually at PAX East, and we are going to have a round table, which is going to be awesome. So you're going to hear the introductions of our guests for the table, which was in fact actually round.
Yes, it was a round table.
Yeah, so it's truth in advertising. We had a round table conversation. But if you want to get more information beyond what's just in our roundtable conversation, then make sure that you visit us online on the webs, the interwebbin, at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.co. That's esh.co. The short address will bounce into the long one. You can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at mailbag@landofesh.com. iTunes, we're there. Subscribe, we're free.
That's right. There's nothing like wait, fun, free entertainment. So make sure that you go to the iTunes music store on your mobile device and or non-mobile device of your choosing, that you search for Electric Sister and you hit that subscribe button, like the lady said, because that will ensure that you will get brand new episodes of our podcasts the moment that we put them out upon the web for your perusal. We highly, highly recommend this. And if you don't do that,
you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But please be looking out for the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right. We're not the only thing that make up the Land of Esh. So while we have new show episodes that go live on Mondays, you can catch a brand new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast, which is hosted by King Baby Duck on Tuesday. A new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, which is going to go live on Wednesday. And so much more from the Land of Esh. Outside of what we write on our websites, there's also our bi-monthly-ish magazine, which you can get a hold of, which has some great, great pieces that are just, you know, too hot for the web. So we've got to put them in print. I highly suggest that you check that out, landofesh.com, as well as the stuff that we write on Twitter, on Flickr.
Twicker?
Yeah, because it's like...
When it's like a ticker and Twitter, so it's going to blow up.
It's going to blow up with
information. With information.
And they are, yeah, with awesome sauce, like all over your face. Awesome sauce!
And awesome sauce is white, by the way.
Sometimes. It's not always white.
Sometimes it's opaque and clear.
No, that is not awesome sauce.
Really?
That is something else.
Someone told me that was awesome sauce.
That is not awesome sauce. You got fooled.
I feel betrayed.
I don't even want to go with what you were just...
Oh my God. I thought that was awesome sauce.
You should report that. You need to be on Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
Dunk in the face.
Dunk in the face. Okay, so... I think that's all of our business stuff for the top. We are on Twitter. You can follow everybody by visiting my page. The list, for whatever reason, disappeared, but by the time you listen to this episode, it'll be back. So all the members who make up the Land of Esh, including the magazine group, as well as the interwebbing group, will be there. Make sure that you follow them. There's some fun, good stuff that happens there. But now I'd love to drop you into our roundtable from the floor of PAX East 2011. We have peoples because we're at PAX East 2011.
Last day, guys.
Last day. Oh, tear running down my face. But we're going to go around the table and introduce who we have with us as an awesome, amazing show of thoughts, opinions, and other nerdy, geeky stuff. So, starting on the left, we have with us...
Chris O'Regan, also known as Kapotkin from the Super Happy Fun Time Show.
Super Happy Fun Time Show! I've had caffeine.
Straight to the head.
Straight to the head. And then we have with us.
Then we have Edie Sellers. I almost called my like Edith, like my
you
real
did.
Name.
Oh my god!
I know. I'm sorry.
Your mama call you Edith.
Exactly. Edie Sellers from Game Hounds podcast.
Yeah, Game Hounds.
Find it.
Gamehounds.net. Seriously, go.
Yep, right now.
Come on, do it.
SSFTS.com.
Whee!
There you go.
Promo plugging. Branding.
Absurd.
For the win. And then finally, we have with us
Leonard Cohen.
Wait a minute. No.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. This is King Baby Duck from the world of Esh and the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Bastards. Woohoo!
Yes, and I apologize about the sound of my voice. I lost it while singing along to Pollen Storm.
Which is what PAX is all about.
Right.
Pretty much. Pollen Storm, Jason Colton, Jonathan Colton.
Jason is the bad ninja. Yeah.
Jason is his distant cousin who's currently in prison.
Yeah, you know, he did some things. It's cool.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We're all right with that.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Look, I'm a non-believer. Look, I had caffeine. I didn't say that I was awake.
Good point. Touché. Yeah. Anyway,
and the clocks did go back and stuff. So
did you just do a Candy Mountain reference? I think it's like the first time in 2 years I've actually heard someone reference that.
I don't know. Did I? Was it subliminal? I mean,
it's a possibility.
It was an illusion. Maybe
we'll run it back. We'll see what happens. We'll run at the flagpole. Who knows? And if so, it'll become a meme. It'll be awesome. It's no big deal.
Like the fire cops.
Oh, we're gonna have to get into that in a whole other podcast.
But let's tell everybody what we've seen here. We've been here for 3 days. There's lots going on, or at least there was.
Nerds. Lots of nerds.
They're quite the geeky nerd combo. I have to say, I was kind of surprised at how many couples actually dressed this year.
Way more cosplay than I've seen before.
Yeah. And here's the thing. This is what amazed me. Not a lot of bad cosplay.
No.
Usually you're just kind of like, oh.
Right.
You're thinking of a special need for some brown paper bags? I am Solid Snake.
This is my mask. Picture Solid Snake. No. Some really good cosplay. I do have to call out one person, though, that really kind of surprised me. I don't know if you've seen Man-Chun-Li yet.
Which one? There's two.
I know there's two.
One that's blonde.
Yeah, no.
With legs shaven, and one burly, not too shaven.
I haven't run into burly, but I have run into.
He was playing Dance Central,
and
he did Lady Gaga.
Oh my god.
Looks like Zach Galifianakis, right?
Oh my god.
And a little tall, like if you stretched him out a little bit, yes.
Okay.
I gotta say, Manfei is one thing. Let's not start this. Let them do
expression.
No. I don't want this to be a thing. I don't want this to be a thing because he was doing the pose where he was lifting the leg, and I was like, no!
Wait, are you talking about the one that was dressed like Sailor Moon?
No.
That guy was hilarious.
Yeah, that was
awesome.
Dude dressed as Sailor Moon, I'm all for that. No.
With the full beard?
Yeah.
Jack Galifianakis dressed as Sailor Moon. Yeah. That works.
No,
someone actually drew a picture of that, and it's in, a museum in New Hampshire. I shit you not. It was in the Museum of Modern Art a couple months ago.
Really? Are you being serious?
I am fucking serious.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
It was part of a Japanese pop culture exhibit.
Right
next to a picture by Takashi Murakami.
Oh my god.
Could you imagine that? All that prestige. Man, Sailor Moon.
Great. No. There's a gentleman who is walking around. He's got to be about 6'3", 6'4". He's a tall drink of water. With the buns and the dress. And he does the pose, and he lifts up the leg, and you're like, no!
Was he the one wearing the blue boxer shorts?
Yes.
Yes, I caught a waft of that.
Yes.
Oh, not much
fun. Can I say a waft of that? It kind of sounds nasty.
That's what it is.
It's true. Yeah. I have been spending most of my time in the press room, so I have missed the funk.
The funk was present from day one.
Not even pre-day one.
There are some areas of higher funk than
that. Yes.
It's like
yes.
Certain.
Where? Because I have to send my writers to write on the funk.
Yeah. Stay away from the Old Republic corner. That
right
there is pretty ripe.
Don't do that. There are
really?
Things be breeding on the walls, and there's lights bleeding on the walls. It's pretty bad.
I think some people pre-gamed their funk.
It's rusting up, is what you're saying?
If you're looking to cure penicillin and make your own, that's where you want to go.
God. Yeah. Got it. Okay. All right. I may have to send somebody down there.
Yeah, you're right. Cultures are being bred
there. Yeah, that's what's going on.
You can
on
see there. It. It's this green haze.
It's dense.
And it's actually doing a press release thing later on. It's actually it's got its own bad. Entity. It's actually it's sentient now.
It is. It hired Edelman.
It's now walking around the convention looking for swag.
Yeah.
Worst day to watch it. This is probably one of the best days to do it.
And the bastard it's got like into the LA Noir and we did it.
It's like another Halloween. Trick or treat.
Oh my god.
And it envelops the whole of Boston and kills everyone. We'll get there in the first place. Let's just do it.
This is where it started. You know, Battle LA, nothing compared to fuck.
Yeah, true.
Boston,
true.
2011.
And the other thing about Boston, apparently it's too early to be telling the Japanese tsunami jokes.
Yeah.
I tried it a couple times. Didn't go over well. I'm going to keep trying. I intend to be the first one.
I have friends over in Japan, and I'm actually really worried for their safety.
I do, too. Haven't heard from them. It doesn't mean that I can't talk about it. I actually haven't been home, because it's fucked up California, too. Real good. I have only heard bad things. I'm like, ah, come on. It'll be fine.
Yeah. It's weird that that actually happened on the release date of Battle LA.
Did it really?
What is the rule like to that, though?
Beyond
too soon.
Is
it 3 weeks?
Typically, as far as jokes go, you're supposed to be the event plus 25 years before you go in. Now, of course, the internet has changed a lot.
Oh yeah, we've definitely accelerated
it was more
that.
Gilbert Gottfried changing that. The Hugh Hefner roast when he told the 9/11 joke.
No, he tried to tell the 9/11 joke, couldn't tell the 9/11 joke. Everybody said too soon, and then he told the Aristocrats.
I pretty much think it's the
Please tell me you've seen that movie.
It is. Yes. The greatest joke ever.
But we are here to talk about PAX East, and I know that we've all seen all kinds of things.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Both good and bad and otherwise.
The good, the bad, and the smelly.
The good, the bad, and the smelly. The good, the bad, and oh my god, it's
Can we move on from the state?
Yeah, right, yeah, sorry. We'll come back. All right, so the first awesome thing that I have to say that I saw that I really enjoyed and got hands-on with was Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
I hadn't tried the demo. I'd been kind of going back and forth on whether or not I was actually going to jump in because I fell in love with fighter games because of Mortal Kombat on Genesis system. I actually browbeat Pandalicious into begging
She cheated.
Mom for a Genesis for her birthday so we could get the game.
She
so
cheated.
Play. I did kind of, I used her birthday present. But you liked it.
She made me play second player, so I had to learn all the moves in reverse, and then on the off chance, she made me play first. I didn't know the moves because I knew them backwards.
Right. That's right. Backwards and in high heels. That's the way you learn them.
Okay, that takes ultimate stuff. Just, I love it.
That look.
Shaking your head doesn't work on podcasts.
No, it doesn't need to.
No. Emphasis, guys. I'm shaking my head like, yeah, okay.
No, it wasn't just a little. It's a stare of daggers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we could talk about the swag. You can't buy those anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, Pandas has put on a scarf, a PAX East scarf, which were on sale for about 3 nanoseconds on Friday morning.
I'm going to give you, actually, it was more like 10 because the line took so long that
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was the first thing. Like, as we walked in, I was like, okay, I know they put out on the internet that the only things that they're going to have that are going to be limited edition at PAX East are going to be the scarf and a t-shirt. They're going to print up a ridiculous amount of t-shirts. They're going to underestimate how many people in Boston,
want
it's going to be cold, are going to want a scarf. So as we were actually figuring out what we were going to do, first thing in the morning, I was like, yeah, you guys go ahead. I'm going to get in this merch line. And they laughed. They guffawed.
Guffawed. Was there much guffawing?
There was, actually. And it was too early because I had not had caffeine. I was like, that's okay. You guys go, run, be bountiful, and play.
Yes.
I'm going to be in this line.
And I did.
Yeah.
And they did. And who had a scarf?
Mm-hmm.
And who did not? There's pointing going on.
Yes.
I had a scarf.
I have a scarf.
He has a scarf. They have no scarves.
No, yeah. Not true.
Yes. Why? Because I'm awesome.
No, because you didn't buy me gunner glasses and you felt like a douche.
Okay, that might have been. But Mortal Kombat.
She's like, you can have the scarf. I have gunner glasses.
it's an equal trade, okay? What do you want me to do?
It doesn't matter.
But Mortal Kombat, I have to say, I was really surprised because I avoided a lot of the pub. I avoided pretty much every press release that Vincent made
because I was very afraid, especially after Armageddon and the last few outings on the next day. You know, some outings for the franchise, I was really afraid that it was going to be, you know, just more layered on Armageddon with some more polygons, and I was going to be very disappointed. But I have to say, I really wasn't. It played really well. It reminded me of immediately the first time that I actually played Mortal Kombat on the Genesis system, and it made me very comfortable because I was very afraid that it was just going to be like most fighters, a few more characters, a few more special moves, oh yeah, more blood, more gore, but no added anything. And I was really surprised. I actually went...
No, there's much more to that. I played this at Prime, which is why I'm avoiding it now. At East, but what I remember playing at Prime, first of all, my background in Mortal Kombat is non-existent. I didn't actually have a Mega Drive as a kid, so I didn't, you know, or SNES, so I didn't really get into it. But what I played from it is the finishing moves and how all that plays out. They've really expanded on that, mm-hmm. and it's a graphical tour de force as well. It is a glorious game to look at and play. It is. It really is.
I haven't said that about a game in a long time.
Especially the detail when you do like the really special move, not the fatality, but the special move.
Yes.
Where you see like the X-ray and the bones
That's
crunching.
Right.
And my jaw was on the floor.
It is all superfluous. It has nothing to do with the game at all. But it, in other words, the play, the game, the actual combat, and the but it adds to the visceral nature of what Mortal Kombat's all about. And I think they've gone back to that.
Yes.
Back to the basics.
And, you know, it's about time. I mean, we've all played a game, especially one that's in a sequence of a franchise that has lost a little bit of that thing that made it unique. You know, from the first game.
I mean, you can see that in the Mortal Kombat, like, the lineup. Like, one was great. Two, good, but it was missing something. Then Shaolin, whatever, spin-off with... What the F? I didn't even like him as a playable character, so why give him his own spin-off of a tournament? And I mean, I'm glad that we're going back to the basics and we're going to finite those. I'm looking forward to that. I kept walking by it, looking, going, do I want to get my ass beat today? No. But I watched them do it.
But it doesn't matter when you get... Actually, the experience of... Honestly, it's annoying Street Fighter 4 when you get your ass kicked, but when it comes to this game, it's just the visual spectacle of it, you know, even if you are being pummeled.
And you gotta give it up for the setup. They actually turned them into like the old arcade booths.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes. Again, it's something I've seen before. Time's limited, so I didn't. If I've already experienced it before, why go to it?
Now, when you played it, did you get the whoopsies, man?
No.
I got the whoopsies. Or toasty?
It's whoopsies!
I thought it was toasty.
Yeah,
it's whoopsies.
It was toasty. I didn't get any
original.
Oh. Well, I got the whoopsies name. Third punch in.
Nice. Did,
good job.
Did you guys actually see the DS, 3DS version of it? Because I am not I'll say right now, Mortal Kombat, never touched it. And I haven't touched it here. But I know that there's the one for the 3DS, and our writer Leah, who did play with it, really, really liked it.
Yeah, I played Street Fighter 4 on 3DS.
Yes.
And that looks. I like the 3D, like the perspective view, like over the shoulder, because when you lay a punch, it's just like.
And I like how it's more in depth than in your face.
Yeah,
too.
That's right.
What do you mean by in depth versus in your face?
Well, it makes it seem like you can actually go in there and like pull out the characters rather than have it
in front of you. I see what you're saying. Right.
It is that feel. You're right. It's pushed into the screen rather than thrown out at you.
Oh,
now,
I got it.
Did any of you have a chance to try out the game Kid Icarus Uprising?
I didn't
here.
Do it, but Leah did. Loved it. Loved it. She had thought that she was going to like Ocarina of Time better than the Kid Icarus, and she liked actually Kid Icarus better than
Zelda. Ocarina of Time. I played that at preview London events because the Nintendo going up and down the UK. Tiny country that it is, they can do that, doing these tours. So they did Kid Icarus and they did Ocarina of Time as well. And I looked at it and went, that's cool, it's Ocarina of Time 3D. I played this, I finished it. Why don't
right, it's
play
the same
again?
Thing.
Yeah.
And that annoys me. I mean, people are looking at going, yeah, but Zelda, yeah, well, I've finished.
Right.
You know.
And you wouldn't think it was a new Zelda game, but guess what? It's one that I've really already finished just on this platform.
In 1998.
Yeah.
And also on the GameCube when they did the special edition.
Yes,
so you've done it three times now.
Yes.
And the Master's Quest, too.
I mean, you can beat a horse so much, and then it turns into Elmer's Glue, and then, you know. or a really
but this
bad
is Nintendo. It's kind of notorious for doing that stuff.
I did want to get back into Kid Icarus Uprising.
Yes, sorry.
Sorry.
Tangent!
I had an issue with the controls in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way it's set up is that you're controlling, you know, you're moving with the left stick, but then you're also shooting
with the left bumper.
With the left bumper. After 2 minutes of playing the game, I felt my hand, like, literally cramping
no.
up.
No! You mean you had, oh, God. What's that, It's the claw.
Gamer claw.
Only exists on first-person shooters on the DS. It's called Gamer Claw.
And Gamer
certain,
claw.
Certain games, first-person shooters especially, there's one, Metroid Hunter. Prime Hunter was notorious for that. Great. I love that game. It was great. But you got Metroid Claw. It's
yes.
like, you know, after 10 minutes, it was literally your hand was a claw.
Yeah. And then you had to use the stylus to aim. And then it got me thinking, wait, then how are you supposed to hold the 3DS? It's like you're shooting here, you're moving here, and then the stylus is...
The power of your claw to keep your DS safe. The power of the awesomeness of the DS makes it levitate.
Yep.
It floats.
This should be a hover pad. They should make one. Mad cats get on.
No, come on, listen. Enough of the sarcasm. It's arse, isn't it? Yeah, there
yes.
you go. Okay.
So why don't we see what our guests have seen at PAX?
Yeah. What has just been sticking with you out of your traverses through Fest 2011?
Okay.
He brings out the book. I love that. He's got a book. He's serious.
Prepared.
Right.
No
exactly.
change there then. Well, I think rather than go for the usual suspect and everyone sort of talk, because I like plucking out something that surprises me, and I played this game in PAX Prime for about 5 minutes before they were closing up, so I was happy to see it here again at East, and it's finished now. When I played it, it was quite early on.
I guess what it is.
Yeah, this has been the point. You have to guess what it is. I always lead up to a point, but you won't because it's too obscure.
Firefall?
It's no. Mm. It's published by Ubisoft, and it's an XBLA and PSN game. It's coming out in April.
Is it called Juarez?
No.
Trenches?
No.
No, that was Ignition.
Anyone?
Was
Anyone?
No.
Bueller?
No. Bueller.
Rod. Michael Jackson, The Experience?
No, that's not really something.
I'm seriously getting that, though, but for different.
Okay. Oh, it's Outland.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, this is a rather pretty platformer that borrows a lot of things from other games. Visually, it looks like Patapon and a little bit like Limbo. So you've got that vibe going. So it's got this shadow puppet thing going on.
Ooh.
And it is primarily a platformer, but it does have some combat elements to it.
Okay.
And there's also a light and dark. So you can go light or dark, go blue or red.
Okay.
And those things have an effect on what you can do within the environment.
Right. If if the things that you're shooting at or that attack you are the same color as you, they do less damage damage. But if you're a different color, you could change your color.
Yeah.
So that if something's coming at you that's attacking you in blue, that's blue, you change your color to blue.
Red,
you could attack. No, if you do red, you'll do more damage to it, but it can do damage to you.
Yeah.
But if you do it blue, you do less damage to it, but it can't hurt you. So
that's
it's.
Right, yeah. It's glorious.
It's
absolutely
a lot of switching of colours at any particular time to save yourself.
Yeah, it's a lovely, lovely game. And like I said, it's a downloadable only XBLA game. It's got co-op on it.
Okay.
And it's got like levels you can beat and to score for points for like lobby for Pac-Man or something like that. You know, where you just leaderboards. There's the phrase I was looking for. And I was really, really impressed with this, and I was very happy to talk to the producer behind it. It's been developed by some other outfit, I can't remember the name now, I've written it down. Bad Chris. It's coming out in April, I'm really looking forward to that. Don't do that, not during the podcast.
No, I'm trying to look up the name of
exactly.
who it is.
Research.
Oh, is it in the Free Realms? No, it's not from Nether Realms.
No, I don't think so.
She's going to want to know.
So killing
there,
me.
There it is,
it's
out killing that for me. I mean, I've got another... But the rest of the games were all usual suspects. I'd rather not bring those up. And I suspect other people are going to mention them anyway.
Probably. Because I specifically sought out the usual suspects this year. Mostly because the majority of them, either I didn't have a contact there that any longer, or I just really wanted to play it. Like Gears 3. I wanted to play it. I wasn't willing to wait until April. Even though I did the epic edition of Bulletstorm. I know, but I was like, it's here.
I just had to put your finger in that pie.
I had to touch it. I had to put my finger in the pie. It's more apple pie. I had to do it. I'm just saying.
See, and I didn't because I knew it was coming in April. And
you're more patient
than I am.
At some times.
Is this Gears 3?
Yeah.
I didn't bother because it's a year ago. It's such an expo hall, really am.
Isn't it fun?
I had a ball.
Yeah.
And I usually hate games like that.
Yeah.
Did you play
me
the ticker?
Too. I specifically hate Gears game. Specifically hate it. But it was the only thing that nobody was standing in line for during the end of the press room, the press thing. So I'm like, fuck it. And just play it. Great!
Yeah.
Did you play the ticker?
No, I didn't play the ticker.
Oh, so funny. Yeah, you just look, they, nothing, they think they can
do
blow
they,
you
do
up.
Did they make the Brumac playable in that? Can you be the giant Brumac?
No, that'd be silly.
That'd be an insta-kill. The person who's never played is like, yeah, you'd be the Brumac and just shoot everybody.
That way you can win, and you'll feel good about it. Okay, now
but that's an important thing to have, the girlfriend role. You know, the girlfriend, here, honey, play this. This is fun, I like video games.
Bouncy.
I know it is, but they're, and I'm not saying it has to be a girl. You could have a boyfriend who doesn't play games that you can hand that. So it's.
I've never had that.
What?
Yes.
My husband doesn't play games.
Okay. Well, I'm not married.
Well, you can have a boyfriend who has a boyfriend who's never played it, or a girlfriend who has a girlfriend that's never played it.
It's too early for
There's
that.
So many color conversations, but yeah, I mean, I typically hate those types of games, and I absolutely just fell in love with Gears 3, and I'm looking forward to actually having the beta in April, so I can play it some more. I probably will invest in the ticker at that point in time, but I literally just jumped in, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to play. I don't care. Go, start. I want it to be now. I need the experience.
Right.
And I really had a great time.
Oh, yeah.
I own that. But, you know, I mean, it runs well. It's more the same as far as, you know, you're blowing stuff up. It's the same kind of... You know,
it's epic.
It is. It's epic.
But it also has Griffball. It's got Griffball. That was the one time I ever had fun playing Gears was playing Griffball.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think that there's a little bit of something for everyone. I'm interested in seeing, you know, what the final story ends up being. Because I'm not a Halo fan. I never will be. But I will finish the Gears trilogy just like I, you know, powered through God of War. But I'm kind of curious to see because I've been watching the floor. And it seems like the pocket of the non-press people coming in, the regular gamer, the regular audience, have just been flocking to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that and Old Republic. And it was kind of...
Yeah, that corner.
Oh, yeah,
let's talk about that now, because I think it's good to talk about that.
You mean the Idle Fuck Not?
Yeah.
That's what we have dubbed it.
Area.
Yes, it's
horrible.
It's a fuck not right there.
You cannot.
What were they thinking
there.
Putting all of those games right there
There's
in
like
one spot?
It's like a swampy
spot.
Fog that just engulfed the area.
And the thing is that there's so many like obstacles you can't get it. Once you're in, it's like you can't
and
get
there's
out.
And there's some sellers and stuff and retailers around the area.
I feel terrible for them. Capcom is in the corner, and you know they've been blasting out to people all week long that they were going to have some Okami Den stuff for sale for people, and they're like, you can only get the little plushies here. Come by, and they're in the corner of Dreadnought and Funkoria.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. They're in Funky Town, and I feel so bad for everyone trying to get over there.
Well, you know what just went through my head? Won't you take me to
that's not the worry. It's the people in the booths.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the good. I mean, let's sell the rest of these so I can get out of here.
I mean, you know, they probably have some kind of airplane disease at this point.
I bet they all have cancer breeze. They'll travel
breeze.
Just like
cancer. Well, we've already lost a man. Derek. Derek, he came down with the plague.
Yeah, I saw that on your Twitter.
Yeah.
Somebody has the plague?
Bollocks,
yeah,
that's right.
Absolute Bollocks is down.
When did he come down with the plague?
Last night.
What kind of plague?
Didn't say. Just said he was very ill.
Probably got the funk.
Yeah.
The funk. He got seriously. The funk.
Seriously, there's a lot of songs going on right here. It's awesome.
Musical. Yeah.
A lot of funk, a lot more lines.
About 20% of our show is musical.
There you go. I mean, it's writing itself.
Yeah, you're right. There have been a lot more lines this year.
Yep. And the lines have been better. So it's just basically taking the piss out of Alpha.
Line 11.
Obelisks, xylophones, tycons, whatever they are.
Yeah, the layout definitely needed a little more thought.
They needed to actually make it. I like the venue. No, I don't like the venue.
Why don't you like the venue?
The venue, I think the space is good. I think it's actually a little too large, but that's all right. I'd rather
enough.
What?
No, you're right. But I think I know what you're about to allude to.
What?
Why you don't like the venue?
Why don't I like the venue?
It's location.
I don't mind the location.
Oh.
It's not grimy.
Yeah. There's lack of food.
There's lack of food.
Financial district.
Right. There is
food.
Lack of food. I'm okay with that because it's
okay.
You know,
there is a plethora
of food here, and it's all not bad. I actually bought pizza.
I have to say, the BCEC did a really good job of bringing stuff in. You know, the whole taco
dude,
truck.
Dude, they have taco trucks. They drove fucking taco trucks in the air.
No.
Come on.
That was amazing. That vast space.
In that like commissary area, that's like right across from the tabletop. There's all that leftover space.
Right.
So they could have put so much, there could be so much more going on.
Right. But we are seriously down there, we are one tilt-a-whirl away from having a carnival in this place.
And
yes.
I'm okay with that.
Exactly.
People, I'm all set.
Here's my problem with the location.
Right.
And it's really a matter of the organization within this location. And it makes sense that it lends itself that there's one side that is video games and a large wall. And then another large open space, and then another large wall, and tabletop gamers. It's always been that these things have always been integrated. You would have, you know, you felt like when you passed by, you would see tabletop gamers cohabitating with video gamers. There's enough of this, like, this is our side, this is your side, and never the twain shall meet. There's enough of that already within this kind of gamer society, and that was
a
nice thing about PAX.
Segregation.
It's segregated.
Segregation.
But
I know.
And you know, we should have picked up on that.
We did.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's, I was not.
Especially you, considering your research here, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's separate but equal.
You fail.
And it does not work. It is.
It is equal.
It is equal. We're the same distance to the taco trucks.
Yeah. And if you got a good friend, like, look, I'm in the middle of this. Can you go give me some tacos? Thanks.
And, you know,
bring back some tacos. At Twitter, anyone need a taco?
I didn't realize that until you said it. It is true.
I didn't even.
Find me a tabletop gamer here. It's always been like the podcasters have to, like, chase the tabletop players off away from the tabletops. And, but we were kind of forced to kind of see each other and kind of revel in each other's gamely goodness.
Yeah. I acknowledge your existence, and I acknowledge that you have a microphone.
Right, and it was that chance for the gamers to, like, okay, I'll sit down and play. Alright, I'll do your tabletop. It's like, alright, I'll play your game.
We picked up a little bit on that because we went looking for, you know, the beanbag lounges.
Sumo lounges. Sumo bags.
There are no beanbags to be found.
Sumo bags.
There is.
But it's tucked away.
They're
right in the end
of on like the far side of the building. There's one hall.
Yeah.
They've got the sumo bags.
Yeah.
I think it's meant for when you get lost and you don't think you're ever making it to your hotel room.
And it is the most bizarre thing of, you know, normally they're like
everywhere.
But you know what I think is probably going to, it's probably fire marshal nonsense.
I will say it is.
It must be.
Could you imagine them getting enough beanbags to cover this entire thing?
I know. Actually, it would have taken you many
bags.
Boatloads of bags.
And volunteers to get them all set up in a day and get them done in one.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Oh, it's a big space, but it's like sort of, you'd have to go there purposefully.
Yeah.
I still miss just jumping right on top of them and just, you know, relaxing.
Because we did that last year.
We did that during the Orange Lounge.
Yeah.
Stage diving on the
It was the first thing we did when we were like, I gotta try these out.
boom.
Oh, yeah. Literally, actually, I take Leo over there.
Trash ball.
I think GK, like, fell asleep in one.
Yes, he did. This is why he's not here.
He got pretty comfortable.
He's still there.
Yeah. He's still in the hood. He's still sleeping.
So that's where
writing tweets about missing the bus.
Anyway, I will say that I am glad that we are in this space as opposed to the Heinz Convention Center, because it was just so overrun last year.
I nearly died last year, and so I'm kind of glad we're here.
I like that there's more space for the BCEC to fold out. My concern, and it's not really a concern, I guess it's more of a wish or a hope, is that, you know, for next year, that they take advantage of it and actually fill out more of the space. To be honest with you,
they could have done way bigger displays. They could have done way bigger setups. We have enough space
here. I mean, we have the space now. I mean, it could be as large as, you know, E3 if they actually took advantage of the space that's here.
And it'd be one place instead of having to go to the Shriner Center for Sony or go to another
but
location.
But do we want that?
No.
No, because then we wouldn't. No, because we wouldn't get it. We wouldn't get in.
We wouldn't get in.
We wouldn't get in. So no, let's keep passing the hats at E3. Yes. We wouldn't get in.
No, I'm saying that we could have a convention as large as an E3 on the East Coast. I'm not saying that it should be PAX East. I like PAX East exactly as it is.
Yep.
But I think that this event shows that there's definitely a draw on the East Coast. There are enough
gamers. Really, there are gamers on the East Coast?
Seriously,
get the fuck. GTFO.
There's like a couple of them.
I know, we meet on Wednesday.
There's a whole East Coast, West Coast battle.
There's punch and pie. There's punch and pie. Okay. That's why people come out.
And free hat.
And a free hat. But I want to talk a little bit about panels. Who's been to panels?
Did I skip you?
Do you have something you want to say? Do you want to add?
Actually, yeah, I do.
Right, well, then jump
maybe.
In. Go ahead. I'll drink coffee. I'll
yeah,
watch,
yeah, please
right?
do.
Here I go.
So yeah. So I mean, I definitely went and saw the usual suspects. I played with some consoles, but I decided to branch myself out a little bit as a gamer and get away from that. I'm going to be doing a whole little series on revival of tabletop gaming and reimmersing myself back to the table. I know, right? I can expand.
Yes,
I can develop.
Yeah, but
you cannot evolve.
I cannot evolve.
You
I
can develop.
Yeah.
So I actually did a couple of interviews with Wizards of the Coast and with Turbine about what they were doing with Lord of the Rings and Dungeons & Dragons Online. I mean, I've done a brief stint in Dungeons before, and I was just like, yep, I'm a clean slate, convince me. And they did. They were showing a new 2010 core set and also hinting at the new 2012 core set over in Dungeons & Dragons. And or Magic the Gathering. Magic the Gathering was the core set. And I've always seen people playing Magic and going, that game looks so fun, but really complicated, and my brain mass will not fit the rules that I'd need to learn for that. And they made it so simple and enjoyable. And I want to re-enrich their communities, and they want to get them out of their rooms, back into game, you know, GameStops everywhere, and game centers, and get them back to playing with random people, having random encounters, and coming in, doing your job, and going back home. So they really are trying to make sets that are maybe an hour of gameplay, come back next week for the next installment to enrich people to get back out there, which I thought was really great, because I think a lot of us get too comfortable at home with our TVs.
I get damn comfortable. I bought it specifically.
You only leave to go to work.
I leave to go to work, and then I come back, and I jump in my round speedy chair, and it's on.
No, what you see, what she does is she sends her hologram to work.
Not even.
Not yet.
No, because she texts me when she's at work, and I'm like, I can't have my phone out. Wait, what?
I like my job.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't.
Then I have to apologize to you as well when I do that.
Yeah, because I could get fired for it.
But seriously, tabletop?
Yeah.
Revival?
Believe it or not, I mean, they did have some of their games that are set on consoles, and they were telling me, both separate interviews, two separate people told me the exact same thing, that from these console, you know, versions, their ports of these games, that they've seen an emergence of nostalgic gamers who've stopped playing cards, going back to it, and new people coming on who might see an expert player playing it online, saying, you know what, I want to know more about the story, I want to know the basics, and they go, and people are coming back to the table. So maybe
that's really cool.
So consoles are leading people back to their roots.
It's so funny that you would have video games bringing bringing people back, actually doing more to
physically,
yes.
Right, well, which is why you shouldn't segregate. Anyway,
I mean, you've got Settlers of Catan, you've got Carcassonne on iPad and XBLA. Yeah. In fact, you've got Small World on iPad. It's a great version of Small World on iPad. Yeah, and you've also got a lot of Ticket to Ride, of course, as well as on XBLA. So all these games are very, they're called gateway games into the more esoteric, obscure stuff, but they it is really, really fun to actually explore this new, well, say new, but new stroke old realm of gaming, because they're not what they've mutated into these weird things. Well, there's a game called Arkham Horror, which is well known, came out in 2005, and the reason I mention it is because it plays like a video game in that there's a boss fight at the end.
Okay.
Seriously, and it's cooperative.
Is that the one we played last night?
No. That's close, though.
Yeah.
That was a boss fight, too. But, no, it's this this game, honestly, it's got a series of phases, and you play cooperative as a series of characters that are trying to shut these gates down that are appearing all over the city of Arkham. And there's an Arkham Asylum there, so, Batman, you're happy with that. And it's an amazing experience. It goes for 2 or 3 hours, and it's extremely complicated, but once you get the gist of the rules and understand the methodical nature of it, actually it's terrific fun, and it really it's really attuned to a video gamer's mind because of the fact you're working cooperatively, which we all like to do, and the fact there's a definite end goal. There's no real, the winner is the team against the system.
We played last night. I played my first tabletop in a game that was very similar to that. The same kind of principle was a Dungeons and Dragons version.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was completely cooperative. I didn't feel like there was other people trying to beat me, and I didn't know anything about how to play it. I felt like we were all on the same team, so we would all be working together. And on top of it was short and easy to understand. Yeah. I think that these games, when they became more, when they started to get into their stride, they became more and more complicated, as if more complicated made them better, which was great for the people who understood them, and it was just an incremental change.
For people who wanted to get in, rules and all these different.
To this day, I do not understand magic. I have had someone sit down and explain it to me. I can understand it for about 5 minutes, and that's about it.
This is the person who understands cricket.
I understand cricket.
True.
It's true.
I taught her at Easter.
Exactly.
It was relieving that we didn't have any interviews.
Magic is more difficult than cricket.
Cricket, yeah.
However, this game within... And I had been drinking. And then...
She's hammered, and she was in.
I was well in, and I sat down, took a deep breath, and I expected... I actually had a little bit of, that feeling in my stomach when I usually sit down to tabletop gaming, that I just know that I'm going to just make an ass of myself.
Yeah.
But it took me about 15 minutes, and within 15 minutes I understood, and it was, would I be able to play without people that were experienced? Probably not, but I certainly 2 or 3 more games, and it was a short game. It's 2.5 hours.
That's a short game for tabletop. And there's also,
and there was a boss fight.
It was a boss fight.
I knew it.
And they're incorporating that community, in the games now. I think when I was talking to Dungeons and Dragons the Plane Walker, that was magic.
Pathfinder?
Something of the Plane Walker.
When I was doing that interview, they actually have introduced now for boss fights. Now the bosses that you take have scheme cards. So, you've got your party of three, however, and the boss has its own cards that can do multiple damage to everybody in your party.
Right.
So now you all have to collaboratively, strategically preempt for the unexpected, because you have no idea what type of cards that particular boss has, to use against.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly what we had. Well, sort of what we had with the...
No, we did. That shaman was really horrible. We had to take him down.
Yeah.
we slapped him
then
down.
There was, somebody drew an environment card that there was lava on the walls.
On the walls,
like,
yeah.
Oh, fuck that.
And there was earthquakes happening in the, this is quite topical, in the dungeon. It's not too soon, is it?
I don't think it's too soon.
I
was really glad to see that, because I mean, in most of these games, you kind of feel like you're your own person. You might, you know, in the D&D campaign that I was in, it was really funny. My party was very reluctant to really trust anybody, and they got really into their characters, which made I had to get into mine, and no one wanted to trust anyone. There was no cohesion until a boss showed up, and me being the healer.
It's nice to know that the healer came out.
Oh, it was great, because they would all go in there and get really damaged up, and they were expecting me to heal them all. I have no ties to you guys. You guys could totally die right now, and I don't care. It's like, I guess it's a little evil in here. Blessing! That's all you get. Do it. I was a bitch. I was a very reluctant healer. I did not come
into my room. Word to the wise, though. Like video games, there are many bad video games.
No such thing.
Correct, yes. There are many bad board games as well. So
my Jack.
Yeah. Wow, that game came out £40 about a couple of weeks ago, and then it's dropped to about 15. Can't think why.
No.
They tried to sneak it in with my copy of Bulletstorm.
Please take it.
It's a bonus.
What is this? Take this back.
I didn't buy that. We didn't charge you for it.
Well, I don't buy it. I don't want it.
You guys like free.
Are you trying to foist? And it is the word foist. This onto me. No, we wouldn't do that.
But I was really glad to see the community coming
back.
Taking
off our hands.
So I mean, that was my thing about PAX East. Was I'm glad to see that they're really trying to incorporate community now.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, I'm a hardcore gamer, I'm all by myself, I'm a lone wolf. No, you can be a lone wolf in a pack.
Mm-hmm.
You can still do it. And I'm glad to see that.
A wolf pack of one.
But I'm happy to say that today my wolf pack grows by 3.
but that's what I saw here. That was my big stint this year at PAX East.
Okay. KBD?
Okay, well... I know a lot of people are talking about Duke Nukem Forever and Dread.
And the booth babe that was like a complete bitch, I heard.
What? Oh, really?
It was funny. People over in LA were tweeting about this one particular booth babe from Duke Nukem Forever. I believe she was blonde. Who was pissing off a lot of people. Like,
I actually
aggressively
have
going after pissing people off.
I actually had nothing but good things to say about 2K games.
There's tweeters about it.
I think
people were just standing in line and were talking about something, and then someone had an opinion. She didn't like the opinion, and then voiced her opinion. And there was a lot of people had around the exact same things to say about this particular booth babe. I don't know.
Yeah, that's really funny. You can't stay, you cannot say stuff like that. This is PAX.
Well,
it gets around. And by around, I mean globally around the world.
The fact that I heard about it from someone in LA when I was not even 3 feet away from them. I'm like, what?
It didn't help that the first comment was, show me your tits.
What? Who made the first comment of that?
Okay, so what games are you going to talk
anyway,
about?
Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
I want to talk about a little independent... I want to say independent game. It's from Autumn Games, who I believe did Def Jam Rap Star.
Yeah.
It's a racing game, kind of in the same vein of Mario Kart, but more geared towards an older crowd.
Is that Mario Kart for
Redneck?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson's anything with an engine. it's the title. You can race in anything with an engine.
Where is my iPhone? I am sending one of my writers to go play that right now.
In the demo?
Fuck, that's brilliant! I want it now.
In the demo, I raced on a fucking rocket. And just blasting people away, blowing people up, getting blown up myself too, and crashing.
It's the antithesis of Gran Turismo 5. It's like, this is Ying, that'll be Gran Turismo 5. And this is really?
Anything with an engine.
You can't really criticize the driving model of that one, can you? I think Hendrix has to review it immediately.
What's cool? what's cool is the weapons that you get in a game, because you get the same weapons, but they're customized to what you're driving.
So you're on a rocket, so your weapons were customized for a rocket.
Yep. And when you're on a lawnmower, the rockets you shoot.
It's a lawnmower.
Yep. When you're on the lawnmower, when you shoot rockets, they're fucking lawn gnomes.
Anything? Where is this located? I need to tell my. I'm assigning this right now. I'm telling my.
It's right next to
writer.
Skullgirls. You need to find this game.
Skullgirls.
It's right next to Skullgirls.
Yeah, it's by Autumn Games.
Yeah, by Autumn Games. When you're and the bombs when you're on the lawnmower, they're like bags of fertilizer.
But, we definitely had fun with this.
I had.
The this name
the,
alone.
I think this, yeah, is the, this is the first time in a while, I'd even say since Mario Kart 64, where I played like a crazy kart game and had this much fun. I played like realistic racing games like Split Second that blew me away. This could be the big like Xbox Live Arcade or PSN title of 2011. And it has...
You think it has that X factor?
Yes.
You think it has that pull? The name alone would make me go, about anything with an engine?
So clearly it's a bit of a joyride beater then.
Yes.
Then again, everything is a bit of a joyride.
You can race online.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that though. You know, yeah. I'm a big supporter. We sat in on the panel yesterday and that Harmonix was doing, and they asked a really good question, you know, should we be catering to the casual side of the game community or the hardcore? Because it's a hard question for everyone to ask, you know, when they're looking at community requests that are coming in. You know, there is a very, very straight line between the casual gamer and what they're interested in and the hardcore gamer and
what they want.
May I I think they did cater to the hardcore with the introduction of real guitars.
Yes.
I think that 3 is a really good balance between bringing the casual gamer onto a playing field with
a pro.
Right.
That the pro doesn't feel like they're being slowed down, and the casual player
doesn't feel like they have to catch up.
They have to learn I am going to get one of the string guitars when they do finally become fucking enamelable.
Yeah, me too.
Because I do want to learn to play. Yeah. And it's kind of a good match, but I think that, you know, as the game community as a whole, that it's a question that a lot of developers have been asking themselves, especially as, you know, things are changing in our industry right now, is who do we cater to? Who's the bigger piece of the market? Who's going to come out of the market more? Is it the casual side or is it the hardcore? You know, because for the most part, unless you really do something stupid with your franchise, your hardcore audience is going to follow you around. And they know this. Okay? If I love Uncharted. Unless they turn Drake into a woman, I'm going to buy every Uncharted game that comes out.
Even if they did turn him into a woman, actually, I would totally.
Kind of woman, though, because, like,
Nathan Drake as a chick, think of the banter.
But if they change the banter too much because he was a chick,
got to keep the same banter. Just make
it. So it depends on the kind of woman.
But then they would have to.
If they turned him into Reese Witherspoon. I would buy it.
Yeah. Okay. But if it's, you know, just Drake in a dress. Okay.
Totally.
For the multiplayer.
They need to go and do a backstory then of when Drake realized that he wanted to be a woman.
The gender reassignment, yeah.
I would buy that DLC. Yep. But, you know, I think...
I'm scared now.
This is why they don't let us design games.
Yeah.
But...
Just because you have a good idea does not make you a gamer.
No. That racing is kind of the perfect genre to look at that and go, okay, you can actually do a little bit of both. Like this game, immediately as you're talking about it, I'm thinking, okay, Mario Kart. And the things that I don't like about Mario Kart was just, you know, that you're still locked into the same game. Mm-hmm. You know, the same power-ups. The levels are different, but it's still the same game. They made multiplayer ridiculously too hard to do. I had to have
And people got really bloodthirsty when they finally learned the mechanic.
You know, that kind of thing. And it's out of it. This sounds like just straight up fun.
Anything with an engine, is it Wii only?
It's actually Xbox Live Arcade, PSN, and it's gonna be retail Wii. But
I am charge $2,000
because it's gonna be it's gonna be huge. And it's gonna be too big for the 40 megabyte limit on a WiiWare title.
Yeah.
I do wanna say one more thing about this game is Jimmy Johnson himself worked really closely on this title.
He rode the rockets and the lawnmowers just to make sure that it reached up to his discerning quality.
But how are the engines stuck on? Is it duct tape? I hope it is.
What I like, what's good about it too, is that Jimmy Johnson himself is a hardcore gamer. And when he's not racing, he and his buddies would be like in the trailer, like playing Mario Kart. And the reason why he wanted to make a game like this is that so his buddies wouldn't feel so awkward battling it out as like Yoshi and Diddy Kong. And they wanted to make it family friendly, but not make it so embarrassing when you got like 30 and 40 year olds in the room throwing shells at each other.
Oh, look, red shell.
I got you now.
Oh, it's the blue shell. Fuck me, sideways.
Ooh, ink everywhere.
So you've got a man, yeah. You got a guy who knows racing to the core, and you got a guy who knows gaming to the core. And from that standpoint, I have a feeling that anything with an engine is going to be one of the most talked about racing titles of 2000.
I have already sent two writers and told them if they don't go now, they're fired.
Thank you.
I've assigned it. It wasn't just one. I assigned it to all of them. They're all converging right now on that thing.
So it's not their defunct. So it's one there.
There you go. There's plus one right there.
Yeah, plus one right there. And it's this title alone.
The title sells it.
Sometimes,
yes.
I'm totally gonna buy it. I want to go. What am I? Are we talking? I want to go down and play it. Take, lady.
I think I found a new best friend, by the way.
Less jab, more play.
Okay.
All right, so. Yeah, just do the signal, yay!
All right, I gotta wrap it up here.
Yeah, you gotta wrap it.
Yeah. Okay, so, really quickly, we saw some panels. I would definitely say that this year the panels seem much more geared towards helping people get into the industry.
Oh God, yeah.
Any year that I've been to any PAX before.
Yeah, yeah.
And so my question to the table is that in order to actually bring in some new blood and new thoughts and ideas in the industry? Or was it literally just to try and pander to get more of the public to come in? Because, I mean, one thing that IGGA did that I thought was really neat was that they actually had mock interviews. Which is something I've never seen as a panel at any time.
I forgot at regular interviews. Why would I want to go into a room and have fake ones?
Well, I thought that it was brilliant in that, they had...
There's no way to respond to that.
Don't.
No, I'm sorry. I had to say something.
Don't respond to
that. I can't just stare because it doesn't work on podcasts. So.
It doesn't work on
I'm with her.
I've
done mock interviews, so I understand their values.
How long ago?
I didn't say it was a blind one.
It's college all over again.
Exactly.
I didn't say that they're not valuable. I just know me. I'm like, I get nervous on a real one. I'm like, all right, so this is fake, but I'm still going to get as nervous as if it was real. I'm going to walk away going, I didn't get the job.
That's right. Yeah. I'm not an interviewer.
Secretly, I'd be like, I'm just kidding. It's actually
as an interviewer, they're a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of sucks.
Yeah,
it sucks.
Yeah, but
all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, I thought it was really interesting that there was, one track of actually how to write your resume and people could bring their resumes in and people would actually sit down and answer some questions. This is a better way to frame it as far as getting into the industry. And then as a follow-up, there was another panel on the other side of the room on actually doing an interview. So actually sitting down with a retooled resume or the resume that you have and actually going through an interview of this is what you need to change, this is what you don't need to change, and that kind of thing. And so my question is, is the industry looking for new blood?
No. Yes. No.
Yes.
What
happened? We're not.
I love
very secretly. If you follow all the clues.
Oh no, my mind.
Today's secret word is schizophrenia.
Okay. What I'll worry about this is look, why PAX? If you want to do that, get a GDC.
Yeah.
This is not the place for it. I mean, there's a lot of us. I have no intention of working in that field. Mm-hmm. I've already worked in another field. So, it's very... It's not inclusive.
Here's the dirty fact of the industry. There is a lot of money that is made and will be made and continues to be made, and I'm talking billions of dollars of people paying money to go get game designing degrees at game designing schools.
Oh, God.
They make money hand over fist from young, you know, fresh out of high school kids who don't want to go to college, but they want to go get a degree in video gaming, or somebody that sat on a couch for a couple of years. Mom and dad will pay for their school, and it $50, $60, $70,000 later, they come out with a degree in game design.
Yeah.
It is a multi-billion dollar cash cow. There's a lot of reason why they want people to think they can get into this business. The thing is, it is a very insular business. People don't hire other than the people that they know.
The UK government has suddenly gone to skills review, so I'm very grey now.
Sorry, it is. I mean, it's kind of it's an ugly fact that they don't want you to understand, but it is an ugly fact that that's strictly about money.
Yeah, and the Ian Livingston from IDOS, Life President, he's actually authored this paper to the UK government explaining what skills are needed for video game developers, and it is not the ones that these courses are doing. It's physics, computer science, it's maths. That's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Not level designers. They need
there are people that are in the film industry that are working. I mean, my husband, case in point, he works in the film industry. He's working on 8mm right now. He's finishing up working on the DVD remastering of Blu-ray remastering of Star Wars. He's worked on all three Star Wars. He's worked on Mission Impossible, WALL-E, Pixar films. He's credited. I mean, he works on... This is what he does. Mm-hmm. He can't get into the game industry because he doesn't know someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he can't get in after working for Lucas, it's a big fucking lie that they're selling these people, these kids. Sure, one or two of them might make it, and that person will be on the cover of the course catalog.
Yeah.
But really what it comes down to is that they're getting billions of dollars from the kids, and then they're turning around and they're buying large properties. You notice you never see these schools in, you know, the middle of fucking Iowa. No, you see them in downtown Boston, downtown San Francisco, downtown New York, and they all have multiple campuses. What those are large business buildings in very swank parts of town that they've purchased outright with cash, and they're essentially growing their equity leaps and bounds simply because property is cheap, they're buying it low, and they're selling it high. Yeah. And then they go buy another one. I mean, the Academy of Art has done it with art, at least in California. Academy of Art College has been doing it for decades. They own beautiful, huge, multi-million dollar buildings in downtown San Francisco, and that's what these things are doing. I hate to say it. It's true.
Not right.
It's not right, but it's a big rip-off.
Well, no, but here, I find it gets a big bad taste in my mouth, and that's why I haven't gone to that many panels.
Mm-hmm.
And,
because the biggest chunk of them are on how to get in.
I don't want to. I'm here to play games.
Not all of us are self-actualized.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good conversation.
That was a great conversation.
I wish that we had more events of the East Coast like this and basically had an excuse to get Crop and Edie out on our show on a regular basis.
I love Potkin.
It's good stuff.
I love him so much.
He gives me chocolates, and that makes me happy.
He makes me feel very happy to be a woman.
I'm going to let that one go. What I'm not going to let go is the reminder that you should check out our podcast episodes and all the stuff that we write on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is...
ESH.co, that's ESH.co. Short address will bounce to the long one. Check out the articles that are written every week. If you have any questions for those articles or just questions for us, email us at mailbag@landavesh.com. iTunes, we're there. Subscribe, we're free. Do it!
It's good times, people. And I'm not just saying that because I co-host the show. I've listened to the show. It's funny stuff. You should absolutely make sure that you get up on that. So, subscribe in iTunes. Also, our podcast is available in the Zune Marketplace. So for those of you who have Zunes or a Windows 7 phone, like the five of you,
There are more people with Windows 7 phones.
I know there are more people with Windows 7 phones, but I'm talking about Windows 7 phones who are gamers who would more than likely also be interested in our show.
And you think that's only five?
Yeah, because if you're really interested in our show, you're probably not a Windows 7 user.
That's not true. There's a lot of people who like Windows over Mac and still listen to us.
I'm not talking about over Mac. I'm talking about Windows 7 phone. There are more people who use Androids who would be fans of our show than Windows 7 phone.
Okay.
That's where I'm going. This isn't a Mac or PC battle. We're talking, you know, on your mobiles.
Okay.
Okay. And as far as our group breaks down on your mobiles, we're more Android than iPhone.
We're more Android
than Windows 7.
We are. That's true.
That's what I'm saying. There's like maybe six.
Okay. Point made.
Point ninja. Counterpoint. Panda. Go. Actually, no debate. Just make sure that you get our show, because you're going to enjoy it. And you're going to want it the minute that we put it out on the interwebs. And the only way to get that is by subscribing in iTunes.
You can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. Or you should be listening to the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. Although we are the first thing that made it up.
We were the foundation.
We are flagship. Hear us wave.
Really? Are we really the flagship?
Hello. Everything is named after us. ESH Network. The ESH Publishing. The Land of Esh. The Facebook page is the Land of Esh. Well, you can't say the
Land of Bastards, because that's just
different.
Boston.
Pandalicious said that, so when you write in, that's pandalicious at allegedexisted.com. Pandalicious. Direct those at
I was joking.
But you can get brand new episodes of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast on Tuesday. And you can get brand new episodes of the Geek Aggro podcast on Wednesday. And for all of your other nerdy needs, well, there's all the stuff that we write on our respective websites, which we collectively put in one place easy for you, landofesh.com, as well as the ability to check out our magazine, Buy the Current Issue. I highly recommend it. Some good stuff there and some more really fun stuff coming in the next issue of the magazine, which is in the works now. And I will highly recommend that one when that one pops out. Too, so make sure that you're on that and cop that shit, son. Then you can also follow us on Twitter and engage with us on Flickr. We've got, you know, videos on YouTube. We're working on videos for Ustream. I apologize because the bandwidth just would not hold. The bit rate was too damn low.
Yeah, the bandwidth was too fucking low. It wasn't high enough.
You know, the rent is too damn high. The rate for the internet was too damn high.
And the bandwidth was way too damn low. It was
too damn low. So, you know, hopefully next event we'll have more Ustream for you. But we will have content on Ustream. Well, we'll have content on Vimeo. We're just going to have content freaking everywhere for your enjoyment. We do this for your pleasure. Yeah, I said it.
I like pleasure.
It's good stuff. So, with that, I'm going to ask Pandalicious, what shit were you digging this week?
I was digging Okamiden plushies.
Oh my god, Okamiden.
Every look, bitch. First and of all,
Okamiden. I know. Okamiden looks so adorable. So cute. It might actually make me dust off my DS. But the plushies, oh my Jesus.
So, and I didn't even get one. Oh, but they were everywhere. And everyone was like, look at this cute plushie. And I'm like, oh my god, where'd you get that plushie?
Whose fault was it?
Mine.
I mean, I tried.
So, Okamiden plushie. Astro headsets. Funny thing, Paxies, weren't selling them.
Yeah, Astro. But
they have pictures of them everywhere.
Well, because you know, Astro Gaming is the official gaming headset of Major League Gaming, of the MLG, and they were the official headset of PAX East. So that's why in just about all of the booths...
You saw them hanging on the top.
They were either hanging on the top or they were using them as the demo, with the exception of, you know, companies that already had exclusivity deals with either Turtle Beach or Triton.
Right.
So otherwise, every place else...
Had these Astros.
They were using them, and people had custom tags, and it was kind of really cool to see out on the floor how many people were actually using them. But yeah, Astro, not at PAX East, not actually selling any of their
stuff. I totally would have bought a pair if they had been there.
But their headphones were all over the place, including my head.
Yeah, I know. I need a set.
We'll work on that.
But, so, like I said, Okamiden plushies, yep. Astro headsets.
Yep.
And last, but certainly not least, SFX.
Oh, yeah. Gotta give it... Huge shout out to the SFX crew.
Amazing party.
For fixing my VIP accident that, you know, I almost didn't get my shizzles on.
And for taping us dancing.
Yeah, there's definitely some video on that stream of us
dancing.
I might be very glisteny.
She was.
I was very glisteny.
I was.
That music was off the charts. We were. I gotta say, they throw a hell of a party.
Shots.
Everybody. So, yeah, they're definitely on the list. I don't disagree with any of the shit that you did.
What about your shit? What
okay,
your shit do you
so dig? The shit that I dig, since we're going on the PAX East flavor of the world, the first thing I gotta go with is Gunner glasses. I've been actually hawking them for a while, and just was not ready to pull the trigger. But on Friday, which was the first day of the show, they had a really sweet deal going on with the glasses, so I went ahead and I pulled the trigger on that sucker and got a pair of Gunner sunglasses as well as gaming glasses, and I absolutely love them. Shout out to my girl, Sheryl, who I was talking with the entire time I was spending...
Your money?
My money, yeah, pretty much. She was great, answered all my questions. She was very rehearsed. She was like, do you want to hear about the features? And she was just so excited to share information. And I was like, yes, even though I know everything you're about to tell me, go ahead, you pretty little girl, and tell me what you want to tell me. And she just had flavor and swag. I absolutely love the experience. So, Gunner, thank you for actually bringing somebody to the booth who knows what they're talking about.
The Spanish guy who was ringing me out felt bad because the glasses that I ordered, like, they didn't have any more boxes and everything, so they had to actually take it from the demo, the, like, showcase set, so they reduced my price, and I think he kind of winked at me, so it made me feel pretty.
Yeah, I gotta say, Gunner, you guys definitely make a gamer feel at home, so they were on the top of my list for shit that I dig. If you're in the market, if you play a lot, especially on the console, I highly recommend them, because I definitely, just in using the sunglasses while I was outside, and using the gaming glasses actually while I was writing in the media room, I have to say that I did actually feel less strain in my eye than I normally do when I write at
the
computer.
Man, my eyes were strained this weekend.
So I definitely put them high on top of the list of shit that I dig. I'm also going to go with Mortal Kombat. Played it on the floor.
Yes.
Fucking amazing. I can't wait to get my hands on it.
It can't wait to get its hands on you.
I am so glad.
It can't wait to get its hands on your
Mortal
wallet.
Mortal Kombat can molest me. I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with that.
That's lawful entry?
That's definitely lawful entry. And then finally, truffle mac and cheese.
No, really, since that was your staple food for the weekend?
It was my staple, like, go-to food the entire weekend. And I'm not kidding. I had truffle mac and cheese on Thursday night. I had truffle mac and cheese on Friday night. And guess what I had on Saturday night? Truffle mac and cheese. And you know what? I'm not even tired of it yet. But I'm not having any on
tonight, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, the day before today. The trifecta of truffle mac and cheese. That's how it went down. But and then finally, I've just got to say, gamers in general, you know, the con was really great. There were so many different types of gamers. Everybody got along. You know, I saw so much camaraderie and people just being social with each other, not just within their own game genre. I think that, you know, like Edie said, if the wall had come down, there probably would have been more of that. But just generally, I fucking dig gamers. Fucking dig you people.
Hugs.
I love you in your face.
And, hey, be careful.
And then
that.
Fire cops. So
they don't even know what fire cops is.
That's
all
okay.
About.
That'll be another episode. But you know, it's some shit that I dig.
Fire cops.
Fuck you. Put your flames in the face. So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
This was PAX East 2011. We will see you next year.
Well, I mean, we'll see you next week, but PAX, we'll see you next year.
Yeah, I was saying bye to PAX first, and I was going to say bye to the people.
Oh, okay.
But
bye, PAXies.
But you cleared that up, so we're out of here.